You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We're making the rounds of statewide candidates, and recently we talked to Republican Tanya Shootmaker, who is running against Tom Leonard for their party's nomination for Attorney General. Today we talked to Democrat Dana Nessel, who is her party's endorsed candidate for Attorney General. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Lester.
I want to run a couple of issues by you that I talked to Senator Shootmaker about. This one, in 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled mandatory sentences of life without the possibility of parole are unconstitutional for juvenile offenders. Those who are serving time should get a review of their sentence. Attorney General Bill Schuette has pushed back on that, and hundreds of juvenile lifers still have not had their sentences reexamined. What would you do as Attorney General?
Well, you know, I find it to be appalling that we have so many juveniles who have not had their sentences reviewed, and I think the vast majority of them deserve to be paroled at some point. You know, obviously, the parole board, you know, there's a lot of factors that they consider, but, you know, the decision, and I thought, by the way, it was an incredible waste of taxpayer dollars for Bill Schuette to have been so aggressive in terms of trying to ensure that this was not applied retroactively, even though most states went ahead and did that anyway. You know, there is an understanding, obviously, that when juveniles commit crimes, it does not mean that they are someone who forever cannot be rehabilitated. Their brains are not fully formed. There's a lot of scientific evidence and scientific data that bears that out. So I do think that in all but the most extreme cases, you should be giving that person the opportunity to be paroled at some point in life. And I will say that I have had cases where I have individuals that were convicted of second-degree murder, and they were at one time, they would be given life sentences that were parolable, but at some point you had to go before a judge and actually get permission to go on to the parole board. That's been changed since then. But I would have the opportunity to see the difference between someone who had committed a crime when they were 17 or 18 and to see where they were now at 60 years of age, and to see some of these folks who had gone decades and decades without any disciplinary problems. They had gotten a number of college degrees. They were involved in assisting other inmates with drug rehabilitation or anger management or even, you know, teaching inmates to read. These people were no longer a threat to society 30, 40, 50 years after their crime as a very young person. And I just don't see the benefit in us spending, you know, some $35,000, $40,000 a year to keep them incarcerated when clearly many of them are very different people who have actually been rehabilitated. Those people deserve an opportunity to go before the parole board.
One of the Republican candidates, Tanya Shootmaker, has posted on Facebook, and her campaign has produced videos condemning local jurisdictions and liberals who want to provide sanctuary cities to, quote, criminal illegal aliens. She says she wants to keep the people of Michigan safe. What's your position on sanctuary cities and undocumented immigrants?
You know, I think it's just another effort by Republicans to scapegoat people who are not a threat to our communities and to our society. And I see people all the time who have not violated state law. They have not violated local ordinances or municipal law. And I think that that is best for, you know, immigration courts to deal with. I don't know why it is the obligation of county sheriffs or local municipal police departments to become active and having to enforce immigration law.
But these candidates say these people are dangerous. It's for our own safety.
Yeah, I disagree with that. You know, I have worked in the criminal justice system for 25 years now, and I see so many threats to people in communities all over our state. And much of that comes from, for instance, you know, issues that we have right now with the opioid epidemic, or it comes from our total, complete lack of reasonable restrictions as it pertains to gun laws. I see so many things that are actually inflicting suffering and pain on communities around the state. I have not seen that when it comes to undocumented workers. For the most part, these are folks that actually pay taxes, that work in environments and in industries where, you know, they don't have enough employees. I talk to people who operate farms all over the state. They just simply have fruit that's rotting on the vine because they don't have enough workers. Most of these people are very law-abiding, and they want nothing more than to be able to feed their children. And for us to be sending such an enormous amount of resources in using our state actors and our local actors to go after them when there are so many more, you know, egregious issues, bigger issues. When you talk about the safety of the public, undocumented folks are not our the big enemy out there, as Republicans would have you think. I think it's a distraction. And to me, it's a distraction from the fact that, for instance, our AG seems to care very little about implementing some of the very important laws that actually would protect people in our state, such as, I don't know, environmental codes.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a little bit. I got one more question on this issue, though. We've seen an increase in hate crimes since the election of Donald Trump. There's a big spike last year. What should or could the Attorney General's office do about that?
So you might know that I initiated and work in concert with Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy for the first anti-hate crime task force anywhere in the state, where we have our own special investigator and special prosecutor and special victims advocate. And we did this in part due to this enormous spike in hate crimes. I mean, I think there was some, 23-24% increase in hate crimes in the state of Michigan just since the Trump election. I believe we're the fourth highest now in the nation, which is absolutely stunning, given the fact that,
fourth highest in hate crimes?
In hate crimes, that's right. And it's stunning to me because, of course, we are a state that we don't have any tributes to the Confederacy that we have to remove here, right? And we don't have any statues of Robert E. Lee that we need to take down. But yet, we still see 28 identifiable hate groups, as identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center, that are operating. And so what I would like to do is this. I would like to have a hate crimes division in the Office of Attorney General that specifically investigates and prosecutes hate crimes. I think we can really use the anti-racketeering statutes in order to break up some of these criminal hate crime organizations, just like they did in the South with the Ku Klux Klan. And I think it's incredibly important. I see communities all over the state, minority communities, marginalized communities that are terrified, and they're very frightened given this climate of hate that has been created in the last couple of years. And I want to do everything I can in my capacity as Michigan Attorney General to combat that as tenaciously as possible.
On to a couple of environmental issues. Governor Rick Snyder has asked Attorney General Bill Schuette to file a lawsuit against 3M, the manufacturer of products that contain PFAS chemicals, which are, we're learning, contaminating water in several places in Michigan. Would you sue 3M?
I absolutely would. And, you know, the thing is this. I find it a little ironic that here it's the Snyder administration and the MDEQ that's involved in the suppression of some incredibly important reports regarding the dissemination of PFAS. We've identified PFAS now in communities, I think it's some 30 around the state, but I think the true number is closer, as I know it to be, of at least 11,000 communities where they found an accelerated level of PFAS, so much so that it creates quite a danger to those people who have been consuming that drinking water. And so you see in states like New York and like Minnesota that these types of cases have been brought against 3M. Some of these cases are moving forward quite successfully. I think we need to hold actors like 3M, like DuPont, like some of these other manufacturers of these toxins responsible. We need to hold them accountable. We need to make certain that they are paying for these advanced water filtration systems that we can install in our municipalities to ensure that people are not drinking poisonous drinking water. And there's nothing more important to me that our state of general could be doing, should be doing, absolutely ought to be doing to protect all of our state residents than to make certain that we are drinking safe, clean drinking water. It is a top priority for me in terms of my run for Michigan Attorney General. I think it's abhorrent that our state AG knows about this and yet is doing nothing.
If you are elected Michigan's Attorney General, what, if anything, would you do about the 65-year-old Line 5, the Enbridge gas and oil pipeline running along the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac between Lake Michigan and Lake Huron?
I will shut it down. I will file a lawsuit in the Court of Claims literally on the first day that I take office, and I will seek an immediate injunction. Every day that this pipeline continues to operate is a day that we are facing the biggest economic and ecological catastrophe that our state has ever or will ever seen. And I've seen estimates that put the economic losses in the neighborhood of $6.3 billion. That's billion with a B, right? I mean, can you imagine the tens of thousands of Michigan jobs that are going to be lost in recreation, tourism, fishing? I mean, we'll never be able to recover from those types of losses. I can't imagine. I can't understand why we would subject ourselves to the possibility of that kind of havoc being wreaked upon our state just so that it's easier for a Canadian oil company to provide gas and oil that, you know, 95% of which goes to Canadians and doesn't serve Michigan residents nearly at all. It's atrocious to me, and it's something that's incredibly important to my campaign. It is a campaign promise that I intend to keep.
With President Trump appointing another U.S. Supreme Court justice, the balance of the court is going to be different. There are concerns about pre-Roe versus Wade law still on the books in Michigan, some old laws regarding LGBTQ people. What do you think should be done about those things if the court changes?
What we're going to see is that we're going to have a complete lack of protections in so many different areas on the federal level. You know, we have all these laws still on the books in the state of Michigan that, you know, we'll be able to enforce. And we have a lack of law that protects, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. We need to make certain that we have the right people in the state legislature and the right person in the governor's office to make certain that we have all the protections we need here in the state of Michigan, because what will happen is we'll lose any federal protections that exist. Everything will go back to the states. So you'll have states, for instance, in terms of abortion rights, you'll have states like California and New York and Massachusetts where abortion will remain safe and legal. But here in Michigan, it will literally be a crime. It's a 4-year felony, actually, under one of the statutes that I'm familiar with. And if we have the wrong person in the office of Attorney General, I expect to see, if we have a Republican in that office, that they will actually utilize those statutes to immediately begin prosecuting abortion providers and even going after women who seek to terminate their pregnancies. And possibly a situation where they're jailing these women if they refuse to testify against their providers. So it's a very scary situation for a lot of people. And that goes across the board. I mean, we could literally see a reverse at the United States Supreme Court of such precedent-setting cases as Lawrence v. Texas, which is a 2003 case that made it legal for same-sex people to engage in intimate relations. We still have the anti-sodomy laws on the books right now, which means being gay could be a crime as of this time next year. It's a 15-year felony, by the way. It's the same as rape. So if we see an overturning of some of these very important precedent-setting cases, some of which have been around 30, 40, 50 years at the federal level, I'm very concerned for the 10 million residents of this state and what will happen to them.
The Voters Not Politicians ballot initiative to end gerrymandering of political districts by appointing an independent commission went before the Supreme Court after a challenge. Bill Schuette's attorney general's office argued against allowing the proposal on the ballot in November. What did you think of that?
I thought it was shameful. I thought it was embarrassing for our state to see our state's solicitor general standing there on behalf of, quote, the people of the state of Michigan, arguing that what was it? 425,000 people, 450,000 people that signed that petition so that voters would have the opportunity to vote on a proposal that at long last would eliminate gerrymandering, which, is a, completely abhorrent practice, and it denies people fair representation. To have our Solicitor General up there arguing that this was not in the best interest of the people when it is for the people and is put on the ballot by the people. This is the only time we've seen this type of ballot proposal actually make the ballot with an all-volunteer crew of signature gatherers. That's never happened before in Michigan history, but people wanted it so bad. People are so tired of the gerrymandering, extreme gerrymandering that we have in this state. So I find it to be absolutely repugnant that our AG would seek to intervene in this case to argue against what clearly the vast majority of Michiganders want and that they work so hard to put on the ballot. And it really undermines the entire ballot proposal process. What's the point of us even having this process if we're going to have our attorney general step in and try to defeat any and all of these ballot proposals that he doesn't care for.
Dana Nessel is the Democratic Party's endorsed candidate for Attorney General. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up, we'll hear from the current Attorney General, Bill Schuette, as we continue checking in with this year's gubernatorial candidates. Stay with us.